Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court stripe.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille, fade away.
Bryant for the win. Bang!
James puts up the three.
Oh, it's good.
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in. 5 tenths of a second remaining.
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. We got our first couple of tidbits of the schedule, the opening night, and then the Lakers playing on the second night. The Christmas Day matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers coming to LA to visit the Lakers. We're going to react to the whole schedule once the whole schedule does come out rather than those first couple of games. But today we're going to start what I think is going to be a series, kind of diving in a little bit more to individual players and their impact on the team. D, we got that crazy flurry of like 4 Lakers transactions in 30 minutes right as free agency was starting. And that gave us the opportunity to sort of give our initial thoughts on a few players. But now I really want to start drilling a little bit deeper. And you were talking yesterday about how Colin Sexton and the guard rotation is on your mind. Talk to me about what you're thinking there.
Listening to both the national perspective as well as Lakers fans talk about the signings, one of the common themes that I found is that everyone thinks Kessler can play. Maybe he's a bit overpaid or whatever, or the compensation package was too much or whatever. But people genuinely agree that Kessler is going to be a helpful player. And I think people understand the Grimes signing as a 3-and-D wing. Maybe the Lakers are higher on him for his defense than other people, but whatever. He makes sense within the context of who he's replacing and the roster. And Mamu is very similar in his well-rounded offensive game. They let both their power forwards walk and dribble, pass, shoot, what Redick wants from a big guy, all makes sense. And then there's Colin Sexton, and there's a big old bullseye right on Colin Sexton's back as like, oh, Rob Pelinka can't help himself, a small guard who is offensively geared. And on a team with Luka and Austin, I would have much preferred a wing. And I don't necessarily think those takes are wrong or anything. One of the most common conventions, I think, is look at what Dean Wade signed for, or look at what Kelly Oubre signed for. Wouldn't it have been better for the Lakers to spend their $9 million on Wade?
Or right? Marcus or Smart, even. Oubre. Bring Marcus back. Yes. And, you know, you've got a guy that can maybe start at the three, even though he's a little bit undersized. So, yeah, there are other options there.
Yeah, and I think that the idea was more so in archetype of players, fans would have much preferred a more defensive-oriented wing than an offensive-oriented smaller guard. And I'm looking at the Lakers roster, Pete, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about Sexton is because if you remove Colin Sexton from this roster and replace him even with Marcus Smart, who is a guard and has some ball-handling skills, if you just remove Sexton and replace him with whoever your next favorite is, what does the Lakers guard rotation look like? And where's their shot creation and offensive initiation going to come from outside of Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves? And if it's Smart, do you really want to be relying on Marcus Smart for this? And if it's a player like Kelly Oubre, then is it going to be Quentin Grimes or Bronny James? Who's next in line? Now, I get that maybe if you don't sign Sexton, you look for another guard out in the marketplace. But Colin Sexton's a good to very good offensive player, at least. You look at his metrics from a shooting perspective, his history as a double-digit scorer, even a scorer who can average 20 points a night, things like his true shooting percentage, free throw percentage, catch and shoot. He's good at all of this stuff on offense, Pete. And one of the questions I posited to you last night is, are there players who make what Colin Sexton makes who are better at this specific job than Colin Sexton? And when you combine that with the idea of who would do this job if Sexton was not on the roster, and particularly if you replace him with a wing, then I would argue one of the Lakers' holes on their roster is another guard who can play and initiate offense outside of Luka and Austin. And this was one of the cover-up ideas of LeBron James, right? LeBron could wear all of these different hats, and you could give LeBron the ball, but LeBron's gone. There's no guy who could play power forward or small ball center, but also be your offensive initiator and move Luka or Austin to an off-ball role. That player doesn't exist anymore with LeBron gone. And so I wanted to talk about Sexton within the context of him actually filling what I think is a key role on this team, even when you stack the roster with your highest paid players being two offensive initiators. So I kick that idea to you, Pete. How important is Colin Sexton for this roster? And do you think that he's more important, or are you still just like, we should have gotten a wing instead?
No, I'm happy with Sexton. I was happy with the signing at the beginning. I think him being your backup point guard is super important. And let's start with the replacing LeBron idea. Their thought on how they need to replace LeBron is exactly what you're talking about, is that you're not going to do it with one player. And while they thought that having three quarterbacks out there was somewhat clunky, at least on paper, one of the things is that you, for most of the game, only have two of them out there. Even if you have all three of them healthy at the same time, for most of the game, one of them's on the bench, and that's going to constitute most of the offense. And most offenses function way better when you have two guys who can attack and be a threat on the perimeter. And so that shot creation, replacing LeBron's shot creation, Colin Sexton is one of the people responsible for that. Then with, in context with your team building point and your question of, is there anybody that makes what he makes or less that can do his job sort of as well as he does? If you're just looking through an offensive scoring lens, the only guy that comes to mind for me is Cam Thomas, who remains completely unsigned by anybody despite being a young 20-point-per-game scorer that I think there's a reason why much of the league is like, nah, we're good on this dude. But to your point, like, yeah, there are very few guys like that that can provide that. And I don't think there is the equivalent of Matisse Thybulle, where you talk about what does it add up to, right? Say you sign that Marcus Smart or Kelly Oubre, and you need that third ball handler. Who is it that you go to? Is it a Cam Thomas? It's much slimmer pickings there rather than going this route. And so Sexton being signed before those guys, and mind you, we still need a starting caliber version of those players, but I think Zaire Williams and Matisse Thybulle both sort of doled some of that, like, we need this type of position. And then one last point, D, is this is not unusual. Look at our contemporaries in the West of OKC, San Antonio, and Minnesota. In OKC, in terms of guys who are real threats off of the dribble on the perimeter, you got Shea, Jalen Williams, AJ Mitchell, Jared McCain. That's four guys that you can give the ball to that can really create off of the bounce. In San Antonio, you got the trio of Fox, Harper, and Castle. That's three guys. In Minnesota, they've got three as well between Ant, LaMelo, and Io. So this type of construct is not unusual. It's not something that the Lakers are like, what the heck? Why do you have so many scoring type of guards? This is kind of how it is in the NBA. Like the Knicks winning the title with Brunson being really their main guy. They've got a few guys that can do it sort of on a lower level than those other guys that I mentioned. You know, they run a lot of offense through Cat, but there are a lot of teams that kind of go this route. And I think that that is what Sexton is being tasked with doing.
It's interesting, Pete, when you brought up the Spurs, Wemby is also one of those players, and he's 7'6". And this is the idea of roster construction that you were bringing up and that I was trying to talk about with LeBron as well. When you remove LeBron, who provides this skill set from a totally different position type, It's like what Minnesota did. They replaced Julius Randle, but they essentially replaced him with LaMelo Ball, right?
Yes.
So Randle was a shot creator, but from the power forward position. And Wemby does that from the power forward or center position for most of the game. And if the Lakers are going to remove that option for them who played power forward, essentially, with LeBron, then you have to get that shot creation from somewhere else. And I loved your point as well that it's equivalent to say, okay, spend $9 million on the wing, the $9 million you gave to Sexton, and then replace the ball handling with a minimum. Because that would be the inverse of what we're talking about here. And I would argue that the Lakers' combined value of saying two minimum players in Thybulle and Williams and a $9 million investment in a ball handler, that you're going to get more out of that construct than you would out of $9 million in Kelly Oubre, for example, and then two minimum signings in guard investments of guys who you are going to expect to play that role. So let's take a break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to talk about skill set with Sexton and what the Lakers are trying to do offensively. When you look at Sexton, Pete, he is totally geared towards being a guy who wants to touch the paint offensively. So he drives a fair amount. He can play in the mid-range some, but he's also a three-point shooter, right? So he only took four threes a game last year. On his catch and shoots, he took 2.5 catch and shoots per game last year. He shot 44.5% on those. And 34% on pull-up threes. 40% last year, he was 40.6% the year before, and then 39.4 and 39.3 in his two previous seasons with the Jazz. And so a guy who can hit 40% of his catch-and-shoot threes and can attack the basket and play in pick-and-roll, this is exactly the archetype the Lakers want within their guard core. In fact, they would love for Austin to be able to shoot 44% on catch and shoots with all of the other stuff that he does. But I would argue that one of the things the Lakers are trying to do is build out a guard core that can touch the paint and be a killer from beyond the arc and as a shot creator coming off a pick and roll in order to center their offense through their guards, right? I would imagine this is also going to come with a bit of a shift to more five-out offense and playing more spacing offense, while also saying we can also go to more conventional looks where we're playing pick-and-roll 1-4 stuff with Kessler being the lone guy who is running up from the dunker spot and setting picks and then diving. And so what say you about Sexton being sort of a version of what the Lakers have with Luka and Austin, downhill player, shot creator, but also a guy who can play off of the ball as a catch and shoot player and be a reliable enough three-point shooter that they don't lose anything within the context of how they're trying to formulate their offense and structure their offense.
He's such a natural attacker, and that, like, Luka is a downhill player, but it's a more controlled downhill. He's, at his size, he uses his strength and skill combination more than a, I'm going to hit the jets and get all the way into the paint every single time type of style. But I do think, and historically with Kyrie and Jalen Brunson in Dallas and Austin, that type of guard is a great complement to Luka alongside him. It's sort of a fire and ice approach toward attacking that. Sexton's addition allows the Lakers to play the same way for 48 minutes. And I think that's important in building continuity, especially amongst so many new players. And like I said, he's just got such an attacking mentality. He reminds me a ton of Dennis. On offense, he's basically Dennis with the ability to catch and shoot a little bit better, much more natural three-point shooter, like you said. But part of the reason why his three-point attempts are so low is when he gets the ball, he is looking to go at you. And he's looking to drive into the paint, and he will knock those down when he's open, but it is a secondary dish to what he does. And he's got one of the best crossovers in the game. He's so quick and got a low, tight crossover that he can really dust guys with that move. And most of his passes are going to be dump-offs to the big, and he had really good chemistry with Kalkbrenner last year after or before he got traded to the Bulls, and also alongside Walker Kessler for a couple of years in Utah, in part because he will get himself down into the paint and he will either shoot like a turnaround and makes all these kind of nifty mid-range shots. Like, one thing is he's a 45% shooter in that 3 to 10 foot range and a 45% shooter in that 10 to 16 foot range, or right around there. And that's pretty good. That's pretty good for those locations. And if he doesn't do that, he's making that little pocket pass or a dump off pass or a, you know, drive, you draw the defender, lob it up for the big easy dunk out of the dunker spot type of thing. That's really what stands out to me. Istok wrote a really good piece recently where he's talking about over the last several years, he's like seventh in drives in the league. And so I just really want to emphasize that initial, can you break the defense down? Because I think this team's going to be really good in the blender this year. That's one of the, like the addition of Mamu and Grimes. Players like that, I think, can really help improve the team in that way. But you got to break down the defense in the first place. And I think they're going to have 48 minutes of being able to do that from the guard spot, in large part because they added Sexton.
I'm super interested in this concept of speed as well, Pete. Not just being able to play faster, right, which I think the Lakers want to do, but the ability to put your foot on the gas and just go fast. And when Austin was out last season, JJ mentioned this idea several times. You know, we're missing Austin for all of these reasons. He's one of our best players, but what we really miss is his speed.
Speed.
And
yeah,
how he is really quick in order to diagnose where he wants to go. And then he's very good at just putting his head down and getting into the paint. And the attack idea that you're talking about with Sexton is very similar in that regard. And it's one of the ideas that I think in building out the team that I'm sure wasn't lost on Rob and JJ, in that it can't just be we rely on Austin Reeves to do this. No, let's get more guys who can play this way. And they don't have to be the fastest straight line players, although I think Sexton is one of those guys. But what we want is a guy who can hit the hole and get downhill and say, I'm going to attack here. I was watching some of Grimes even attacking closeouts, and it's very similar.
Yep.
Like, one, two dribbles, and then he's elevating and trying to get to the basket to finish. He actually had a great poster on LaRavia last year where he was in the corner and he caught the ball. He ripped his clothes out and then got right to the basket and flushed it right over Jake. And it's plays like that where there's an explosiveness that I thought the Lakers really only got from LeBron, Jackson, and to a lesser degree from a guard and finishing above the rim aspect, Austin. And those were their straight line, I'm going to get after it and get downhill guys. Everyone else played with a more, I don't want to call it casual pace, like Rui and Ayton and Smart. They all moved a certain way. And I feel like the Lakers replaced some of those guys with dudes who can just go, go, go. And Sexton epitomizes that to me.
None of those guys are the athletes, especially from the speed component. Like, think about that Grimes dunk. I was actually at that game and sitting along the baseline in similar seats to where you and I sat for the Sacramento
game. Yeah.
But we were in the fourth row and Grimes dunked that right in front of me. And how many guys on last year's team could do that? I'd argue that even like that style of rack the closeout, like you don't see LeBron even doing that nearly as much these days of like going up and dunking on a guy. He's much more of a floor-bound player unless he's got that full runway. And then Austin's not doing that, right? Like, Rui's not doing that. Marcus isn't doing that. But it starts from that, just having that boost of speed at the beginning of the play.
I totally agree with that. And I just think that where the Lakers are going on offense is to be faster, is to be able to make more reads on the move, which is not something that like all of their players could do last season. And being able to then create and maintain and extend advantage in order to get easier shots in the aggregate, right? And I think a big idea for the Lakers is we've got elite advantage creation with Luka, and then to a bit of a lesser degree, but who can do it in Austin. And last season, they had really good play finishers, right? Jackson, Ayton could finish a play.
Rui.
LeBron, obviously, Rui, right? But What they didn't have a lot of were the guys who could operate in the middle of the action. And that's why when they got Kennard, he stuck out like a sore thumb in a positive way for how well he did this stuff. And I think the Lakers are trying to find more guys who in the middle of the play as well can play with quickness, not only in terms of decision making, but in terms of action. Like, can I get from point A to point B and do it fast? So let's go to break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to continue our conversation.
So it's very easy for me to see the offensive application of Sexton. And one thing I want to throw into the pile of what you just said is I think he's going to help us get just cheap and easy points early in offense. Like, he's the type of guy where if he's got the ball up the sideline and he sees one guy in back responsibility, which is usually going to be a guard, and they're backpedaling, they're dead meat. Sexton's going to go right at them, bump them off. That's one thing, too. He's like unusually physical for a player of his size and stature. Like, he will absolutely initiate contact and bump guys off and can hit all these like sidestep layups and, you know, cross body type of shots that you need to be good at this. He's never averaged fewer than 14 points per game. And last year he played 68 games, but only 22 of them were as a starter. And he still averaged 15 points a game, playing 24 minutes a game, right? So he's a guy that can really fill it up in the time that he's going to be out there. But there's the defensive end of the court, D, that I'm curious his application there. He's somebody that's interesting because a lot of the lesser defenders around the NBA, you can tie it a lot to just a lack of play-to-play effort on that level. That's not really Sexton. He plays hard on the defensive level. I think he can be a little sloppy in terms of his defensive technique. But when you look at players like that, I always are like, all right, is there anything that you do well? What do you do well? Because then we have to build around that. And I think it'd be wise, and I know that this is going to be difficult because Sexton is not going to start, but to play him alongside Kessler as much as you can, because he does get over the top of screens pretty well. Like, he navigates screens pretty well. That's a place you can use your quickness and sort of not get hit by the screen and stay attached and understand your job, at least, is to funnel toward the big rim protector, right? And this is part of the reason why in the Lakers' search for a better backup five, some of the names that have come up, I'm like, I don't think we can go that route. I think our backup five needs to also be good on defense, in part because I think that Sexton is key to this, that I don't think we're going to be able to switch with him. He's not a good isolation defender. He doesn't really have those physical tools to thrive in, on that end of the floor. But I'm curious your thoughts of just incorporating him into the defensive end, because on the offensive end, I very much see the fit. But between Luka and Austin, this isn't super uncommon. Like, not like Brunson is a lockdown defender, that your best offensive players are not that great on defense. But I do think that that's going to be something the Lakers have to navigate.
100% agree. And his utility on defense, I'm not going to say it's going to make or break his role. Like, I think the Lakers have clearly built a team that is going to try to score 125 points a night. And I think JJ would love to have a team that is in the top half of the league of defensive efficiency. But I do think they have clearly built an offensively geared team. To dive into your point about what he can do well, when you're talking about screen navigation, Pete, a lot of times that actually doesn't mean at the point of attack. It can mean as an off-ball player. And when you talk about the projected starting lineup or who's going to be coming off of the bench, there's, I think, a possibility that none of Sexton, Tybal, or Williams start at all. And I'm wondering if there are more scenarios where Sexton isn't guarding the point of attack. He's not guarding the ball handler for the other team, even if that is a smaller player. And they might put him on an off-ball player who might even be bigger than him. But Sexton, as you said, can be a little physical, more so on offense than on defense for sure. But he's sort of a stocky built player. He's 190 pounds listed. And he's just a guy that I think it would be interesting to say, we're going to put you off ball a little bit more, try to navigate screens, pay attention on box outs, do sort of the little things defensively while we try to protect all of our non-point of attack defenders with Grimes and with Tybull and with Williams taking more of those on-ball reps, maybe even Adu in some scenarios, where we're going to defend this way with our wings and use our shot creators as guys who are taking lesser defensive responsibility or playing off of the ball more. And if the Lakers truly do switch less than what they did last year, then that's a role where I envision he can be okay. The thing I do appreciate about him is that he is competitive defensively. I just don't think he has a bunch of tools besides his speed and quickness. And navigating screens is one thing, but you don't stop a basket by navigating a screen. You stop a basket by being able to contest the ball high and wall a guy off and be big enough and physical enough to knock a guy off of his spot. And Sexton's just not big enough to do that consistently, Pete.
One thing that I think he can fit into is the overall defensive style I think that they're going to be going for is havoc creation. And like in the NFL, you'll have some defenses that give up a lot of yards, but they're really emphasizing getting interceptions and fumbles and sacks, right? Like we want to make big plays, and we understand that we're going to allow some big plays as well. But we figure between our offensive capability, but also the defensive playmaking that we have, that we're going to be good at this. Now, Sexton is an okay steals guy, but I do think that if you put him alongside high volume steals guys, that creates, like, his speed adds to that habit creation type of idea. And so while, yes, I know the Lakers would love to score 125 points a night, they are going to have to be good enough on the defensive end. And I continue to think that we're underrating the Kessler addition on this front. Like, if Kessler doesn't have a big impact in this way, that will have been a failure, right? Like, that's part of the point of why you spend what you spend on a guy like him, is that he can have that broader, well, you guys can be aggressive on the perimeter because I'm back here waiting to clean up anything that gets into my territory. And I think Sexton can at least play into that style.
I agree. And the interesting point that you made earlier about trying to find minutes where Sexton can play with Kessler, I'll be interested to see how the rotation shakes out in order to make that happen. I'm wary of the idea that the Lakers are going to find this defensive big who is going to be able to impact the game on that side of the ball as a backup, honestly. Mm. That's not to say it can't happen, but that player is not currently on the market in terms of free agency, right? And anytime you start to say we have to trade for a guy, I don't think the Lakers want to be in the business of trading real assets for a backup five when they invested $30 million into their starter, right?
And they've got one more starting position that they need to fill, that they'll need to use those assets for.
Yes. And then because you're talking about Sexton being a player who you can't really switch with, then, you know, I wonder, are they going to eat possessions where they do switch and they switch and swarm and they like scram him out of,
they're going to have to, it's going to be all of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so JJ is going to, I don't want to say have his hands full, but he's going to have to be creative defensively. And he's done that in his first two seasons. He's found ways for the Lakers to survive defensively. I do wonder how good this team can be defensively and what their ceiling truly is. I think that if you get Luka and Austin to compete to the level that they've shown they can compete to in the past and do that more consistently over the course of a 48-minute game and an 82-game season, Austin's been better at this than Luka, but I think when Luka does do it, I think the team's ceiling and floor defensively raise considerably, actually. And this is part of the Luka leadership idea that is going to be critical this year. As much as the team followed LeBron last year, when LeBron turned up defensively, everyone else was there with him. And I think the same will be true of Luka this year, Pete. And like I said earlier about Sexton, I do trust that he's going to compete on that side of the floor. And so that's not really the ultimate flaw to me with him. It's more surrounding him with enough size and defensive range where he can be positioned correctly around and within the team construct to be fine and okay. But it's a big step, obviously, for the team. And if they can even be league average defensively in those bench minutes and the non-Kessler minutes, to me, that would be a huge win for this team.
One last point that I wanted to make before we go is not an on-court thing, at least in the way that we've been talking about it, although it certainly will manifest itself. And that's his personality. I think that he's going to be one of the leaders of this team. And he just has a certain spirit to him that this is easily the best team he's ever been on. Like, think of the team's rosters he's been on. He's been on the post-LeBron Cavs, the second time LeBron was with the Cavs, which were just awful rosters. And Colin Sexton is not going to be the guy that turns your bad team into a good team. He's not that good. Then, after being with those post-LeBron Cleveland teams, a Utah team that's been tanking since time immemorial, it seems, and then Charlotte for half of last year and the Bulls for half of last year. This is far and away the best roster that he's ever been a part of, the roster with the most goals on the year. And he's always been a competitive guy, as we've said. I'm curious how he fits into a team that's just a lot better than any of the ones that he's been on. And also on a team that has several personalities that I think are a little more reserved, that just don't have the same intensity to him. He reminds me a ton of Dennis. And Dennis is one of my favorite Lakers role players of this decade. And I think he's going to be super important in that aspect.
I do as well, but I will say that Luka and Austin, we talked about this a month ago or whatever, that their dynamic as teammates and the sort of sarcasm and competitiveness that they bring on a day-to-day basis, and Luka always challenging guys and half-court shot making and making the coaches do push-ups and all of the stuff, like, I think that's going to be a part of the personality of this team as well. And I think Sexton's going to fit right in with that sort of stuff too. And so I get it that there are some guys who you might think of as reserved or not as outwardly outgoing and everything like that. But I think at the top of the roster with Luka and Austin, those guys, Austin less in a flamboyant way, but you know he wants to bust your ass and get after it. And I've seen him getting plenty of war of words. And I'd be happy for him to take on a role of like having that spirit and having that vibe of like, no, man, there's no giving in. Like, we're going to fight. And it's what I'm hoping the team's personality to be this year in general, is that sort of no quit mentality, the we're going to get after, we're going to compete. I hope to see him and other guys pick up full court more, Quentin Grimes pick up full court, and just do that night after night after night, and be both an annoying team to play defensively, not because they've got the most defensive talent, but just because they're going to continue to try hard and play a certain way. And then offensively be a team that's just like, oh man, these guys just keep coming at us with like guards and quick decisions and shot making and pick and roll basketball. That is going to be a difficult thing to stop. So I'm interested to see in what direction it all goes. And to tie a bow on this, I think Sexton's going to fit right in with this team. And like, it's one of the reasons why I was happy to see him signed and signed for what he did get signed for.
Absolutely. Having him as a backup one, he's going to be one of the better backup point guards in the league. So, all right, this has been fun. We're going to continue to do this with different players on the Lakers roster. We will be back tomorrow, talk more hoops. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn, he's double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
And Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound is Lonnie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Score. Two, score. One, miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant. Yes. And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic
Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.